tuning in to the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment. Johnson. TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Hey, everybody.
Hello.
We got a full panel today.
Yeah, we do.
This is a good panel because we have one of the actors on Shameless with us, Luca Orio. How's it going?
Good, thank you.
Thanks for coming in.
Oh, thank you for having me.
It's really cool to have you.
Well, thank you.
Welcome to Shameless Episode 7, our AfterBuzz TV podcast, for the show titled Tell Me You Fucking Need Me. We could talk about that later. That comes from Sammy's mouth. That's a really cool line. But we're here, obviously, as I said earlier, with Luca Orio. And my name is Joyce. I'll be your host for tonight. And I'm joined by JJ.
Hi, guys. I'm JJ. I think we're still looking at our Twitters. I'm at JJ Jurgens, if you guys want to follow along with the conversations.
Yeah. Luca, where can they find you on Twitter?
At Luca _ Orio.
Okay, cool. Perfect. And I'm Haley Clover, and I am at Haley Clover on Twitter.
Yeah, you guys can catch us on Twitter during and after the show. I mean, we'll respond to you after our podcast here. But in the meantime, you know, every single week we post this podcast after show for Shameless here. And so if you're not already subscribed to us on YouTube, please subscribe to AfterBuzz TV, because we have not only Shameless every week, but we have tons of awesome shows, tons of great content for you guys to check out. So subscribing to us will get you, you know, to see all those cool things. So yeah, let's get started on this episode. This is a really good one.
Such a good one.
Really, really good. What were you guys' thoughts overall? Let's start off the bat.
I mean, overall, I just thought amazing. I thought there was so much going on with so many different characters and stories. Lines that I just, there was never a dull moment. It always gets to the end and I'm like, no, I want more. Like, it was definitely one of those episodes for me.
Oh yeah. And yeah. You watched it for the first time tonight, Luca.
I did. I mean, I knew what was gonna happen throughout the whole episode, but actually seeing it for the first time, it was fun. You know, there's a lot of happy moments and a lot of sad moments with Ian as well, so
yeah,
it was good to see.
Yeah, it was a very emotional episode. It kind of took you on a little bit of a roller coaster.
Yeah.
You know, you're laughing really hard at one moment and then, like you said, you see Ian and you're kind of,
yeah,
you know, really feeling for the kid. It's hard.
Everybody had a tough time, I think, an equally tough time in their current situations in their lives right now. So it did. It hit a lot of heartstrings for me.
Mm-hmm.
It was really good, though. But I know you've been a fan of the show since the very beginning, right?
Yeah. My parents and I would watch it every Sunday. And when I got the opportunity to audition for it, we were freaking out.
You're like, no way.
Yeah. I was like, oh, no, this is a dream.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And then what did you do when you got it?
Oh, I freaked out. I definitely freaked out.
Did you not believe the phone call? You're like,
yeah, I was like, no, this is too good to be true. But and then when I went to the table readings and seeing everyone there, I was like, I was shell shocked and I was nervous and starstruck. And yeah, because I've been watching these people for 4 years.
Totally.
And seeing, you know, the kids grow up and everyone else. All their relationships, so it was a great experience.
Yeah, now he's part of the
you
family.
You get to be a part of the growth, a part of the family.
What was your audition process like?
So I auditioned for it one day just with the casting director, and then he had a call back the next day, and it was with Emma, and then all the producers, and then a few days later they just called me and said that I got the job, and I'd be flying to Chicago to work there, and
that's awesome.
Yeah.
And I know you're a fighter in, you know, this. When we met you, you're a fighter, and in real life, you're an MMA fighter. So that kind of helped you through the audition process?
Yeah, definitely. I've actually felt comfortable because I've been in this atmosphere since I was 5 years old. I'm a second degree black belt, and I got inducted into the Black Belt Hall of Fame last summer.
Oh my gosh.
Congratulations.
Yes. Thank you.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Did you watch the big fight last night?
Yes, I did.
That was awesome, right?
I was so shocked. Like, I was looking at my phone, all of a sudden it was over.
I know.
No, I don't follow it too much, but it was like a 15 second fight.
Yes. 14, I believe.
Wait, is that it?
Yeah.
So people who actually paid for the fight wasted their money.
There was great fights building all the way
up to it. The other fights were good.
I didn't see that one coming. I thought she was going to give her a better run for her money.
I love Ronda Rousey, though, so I was happy she won.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan.
Awesome.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry, we digress.
It's good that you kind of bring your life into the show, and it makes, you know, I'm sure acting it out pretty easy, acting out Derek and...
Yeah, I mean, I feel I kind of relate a lot to Derek. We're kind of similar in ways. So, yes. Yeah,
what kind of ways are you guys similar?
Like, we're both pretty nice guys and pretty chill, but you know, we
ladies,
like to joke around.
A nice guy.
Yeah, we were like, who is Derek? Like, why has he never said anything serious?
I was watching the previous episodes, and the guy was like, oh, he jokes around too much.
We're like, I don't know about this guy.
I mean, I like to joke around a little bit with my friends.
Cool.
But yeah, I mean, I feel we're pretty similar.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, we'll talk a little bit more about Derek a little bit later, but let's start off with one of the biggest things this episode. I mean, Jimmy, Steve, Jack, Fiona / Gus. I mean, he has a new name that we just learned about. Like, what is this? Who is this guy now?
I know you were laughing when we finally saw it because I was like, what? Jack?
Yeah.
Like, now he has a third name?
Yeah.
And then everybody, like, in the table reading, too, they were like, what? No. So that's why I was laughing.
That's pretty cool, though, that... even you guys are surprised and shocked with what the writers do.
Because a lot of people don't like to read the whole script because they want to be surprised. So a lot of people just come in knowing their parts, and then so it's a big surprise for everyone.
That's cool.
That's really cool. Weird.
I didn't realize that.
What were some people saying about Jack? Like, what were some of their reactions aside from gasping? I mean, did they have speculation of, like, what Jack did?
Not really. They were surprised at first, and then they weren't surprised since he's lied so many times.
Yeah, right.
I guess he's still a thief as Jack also.
Yeah.
So.
They still know that he's whatever business he's in.
Well, I'm sure you might know, and I'm sure you can't say anything, but do you think he's still going to be in the season then, or is that it? Is Jimmy, Steve, Jack done?
I was thinking, I was like, is that it for him? I don't know. I want to say no, but they can't kill him off. So maybe this is their way of sending him off? I don't know.
One of our fans tweeted me something that I think was a pretty good one, a good prediction. She predicted that he would come back at the end because Fiona would get pregnant and she wouldn't know if it was Gus or Steve's baby because she slept with them both within the same day.
Oh my god.
Which I thought, oh, that's a pretty...
I'm sold on that
prediction. Yeah, I thought that was pretty good too.
No, I'm serious.
So
that's a really good prediction.
Yeah, it was really good.
Oh my gosh.
I didn't even think about that.
Good prediction, Stormy.
I mean, it's a good point because we've seen her go back and forth with her love interest, which I know people have had problems with because they're like, I'm tired of seeing her with another guy because the same things always happen where she has a good relationship and then Jimmy, Steve or someone like him screws it up. So it'll be cool to have that happen at the end. It'll be a different conflict for her.
Yeah.
Why are you smiling?
She's laughing like I know what happens.
Yeah, I just, this whole Jimmy, Steve thing, I gotta say, I was crushed because I was so excited for him to come back. Like, I really thought that they were meant to be together, and this I was ready for it. But then, he came back as such a prick that I was like, you know...
Yeah.
Yeah, and we've been rooting for him here for
exactly.
years for
we've
them
been
to come
such
back.
Jimmy, Steve advocates.
Yeah. And like, the fans, too, on social media, like, oh, yeah, Jimmy or Steve's back. And
yeah.
The way he left
off. Well, because they were so perfect together.
Yeah.
Just
yeah.
like they said... But, like Fiona stated, that's not who I am anymore. And I liked her line when she was like, I want you to let you go. And it's so true. Like, it wasn't just her fault holding on to him. It was him always, like, keeping himself planted in her life somehow.
So. And I thought, like, great writing again, because now it just makes you be a Gus fan, too. I loved when he just hauls off and punches him right away from you. You don't expect that, because Gus is such a nice
team
guy.
Team Gus now.
Yeah.
Like, team Gus
totally.
All the way.
Yeah.
Especially when you find out at the end that the Dubai trip was canceled by the actual people in Dubai and not him. And then you're like, oh, screw you, Jimmy Steve.
Jack. That was my final, too, because when they were sitting on the side, I was just saying, wrote down, like, man, they turned it, because I was upset at how they brought him back. But then when they're sitting on the sidewalk waiting, and he says, no, I turned it down for you. I'm like, oh, now they got me back in.
Yeah.
And now I'm like, okay, yes, this is what I've been wanting him to do, so maybe this will work out.
Yeah. Were you a fan of those two, that relationship?
I was. Yeah, okay. I mean, from especially like the first and second season.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's when they were like their best.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Agreed. Do you guys think he does love her? I mean,
I do.
I don't know
he loves her.
I think she loves him too.
I mean,
it's
she did
equal.
Say it.
Yeah.
And they did say, I love you to each other. But coming from him, I wonder, now that we find out he's also a Jack, and that he didn't actually cancel the trip, like, does he have some sort of, I don't know, like, compulsion to just keep her in his life, like a control thing. I don't know. And that's maybe his way, just by telling her that he loves her over and over again.
I think he does love her. But I do think he is a completely different person in the first couple seasons, because things that he did when he was first getting together with her, he just looked at her differently. He just, like, did gestures for her. I don't know. Now,
every time he came back, he was a sketchy asshole.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just, you know, it is. Totally. He's just so sketchy now.
Yeah.
Exactly. It's true. Very, very true. But yeah, I love Gus now. I mean, I'm all for Gus. I think he's great for her. And I'm gonna say last podcast here, I predicted that she wasn't gonna tell him right away that she slept with Jimmy. Uh-huh. But right off the bat, I was like, oh, whoa. I wasn't expecting that because I wasn't expecting her to decide, okay, I'm done with Jimmy. I was thinking she was gonna just let it go on as long as possible and not tell Gus right away. But she did. And I'm like proud of her. And I'm also proud of Gus for not really walking out immediately.
I was torn on that one.
Oh, really?
I was torn a little bit. I don't know that I like to see him making her breakfast and serving her tea after she just tells him that she slept with her ex the same day that they had sex together.
Right.
That was a little tough one for me to swallow. I totally agree
and see that, but I don't know why. I think maybe because they got married within like 2 days. Yeah. And to me, it still seems like a fake marriage almost. And it's not. They're married, so it totally makes it wrong for her to cheat. But they just got together. It's, like, weird. That's why I think he, you know, even he said, I thought we were going to make it at least a year before we hit some kind of big bump.
Yeah. But yeah.
It's wrong.
No, I agree. And if I were in his shoes, I don't think I would be like, all right, well, I want to meet this guy, you know. But I also think his mentality towards the marriage, like, it lends itself to, like, what happened. I don't know. Like, the fact that he figured if it's a mistake, it's a mistake. But I think he's a little nonchalant about it enough to where it's like, okay, let me give her the benefit of the doubt. We did do this really quickly. We barely know each other. I didn't know about this Jimmy guy or whatever. So, I don't know. I don't think he's totally in the wrong for not walking away. I don't know. That's just my opinion.
I think he took a very mature stance. Yeah. I guess it makes me feel also that she doesn't respect marriage and she doesn't respect relationships with people, and she just does these, you know, crazy things all the time.
I think it goes back to it's not everyone, but the family. She's never seen a good relationship. You know, the family's never been. Mm. She definitely has the ability to totally love because she takes care of the kids and, you know, loves all of her brothers and sisters. But her parents didn't have a good relationship, and I don't think she's really seen one.
Yeah.
So it's possible. It's just that marriage is not, you know, not a total commitment. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, possibly. What's your take on all her relationships based on your experiences?
Yeah, I think she just has never had a really good example to go off of, and I think she's trying her best, but I think she was just caught up in the moment.
Watching the show all these years, you've seen her like back and forth with all the different, you know, good boyfriends that she's been with.
Yeah, I mean, she's had good ones and then bad ones too, and I think she's just still trying to find the right one. And I think now she's really trying to find herself.
Yeah.
After, you know, at the end, talking to Jimmy at the curb.
Yeah, right. For sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I'm proud of her for sending him off. But who knows what's going to happen next. I mean, do you think her and Gus are going to work it out?
I hope so.
Me too. Because she said she didn't know if she wanted him. Like, she didn't know if he's what she wanted. But it's definitely not Jimmy.
Mm-hmm.
So, I hope they work it out. So, I don't know. We'll see next week how that unfolds.
Yes.
Speaking of working out, Sammy and Frank. Sammy's trying to work out this daughter-father relationship in the craziest way possible.
Yeah,
by shooting him. Let's take it to the extreme. I mean, he even said, none of my kids have ever shot me. And she's like, none of them love you as much as I do. That's where the title of this episode comes from. She wanted to feel needed by Frank. And after she shot him, she pinned him down. She's like, tell me you fucking need me. And he just kind of had to submit and say it so that she would help him out. What'd you guys think of their whole, you know, battle this whole episode?
I think it kind of stirs from last season where he really actually needed her and you know, because he was sick, and now that he's healthier, he's kind of doing his own thing now, and that he didn't give her the money for her new trailer kind of pissed her off a little bit.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And so she's trying to take control again over their relationship.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good point. I think so, too. I mean, she's still learning how out of control Frank can be, and she's probably used to just being the one that's, like, you know, reeling people in and making them do what she wants.
Well, I love that when he's on the ground, she's pouring salt in his arm, his wound. Yeah, and he's going, "Not even you're that batshit crazy. Like, that's not, you know." And she's like, "Yes, I am." She's batshit crazy.
She really is.
Yeah, she is. And I mean, on one hand, I like that she's kind of doing some of the duties, the motherly duties in the house, like helping Fiona, so we can kind of don't see Fiona have to deal with all that all the time. So, but she also called it her house, and you know, she's definitely getting a little.
Right. Well, she's the two extremes. Like, she's shooting him and then turning around saying, "Okay, Chucky, we'll be at the hospital for a couple hours and we'll be back later."
Yeah. But at the same time, she has no place to stay. I mean, what else can she do? This is probably this is probably what she thinks is her way of paying her dues by being the mother that she kind of always, or the older sister she always wanted to be. But at the same time, it's like, I still want what I want, you know? Yeah. And Frank's not giving it to me.
Well, maybe I totally overlooked this, and you can probably tell me, but when he first found them, weren't they in the house?
They were.
Sammy and
they were in the trailer.
They were in the trailer.
Yeah. They just moved it back to Sheila's lot.
Okay.
They were always in the trailer.
Gotcha. Yeah. I don't know why I thought they were in a house when they first met, but yeah, they were in the trailer.
No, just a trailer. That's where she made her move on Frank before she knew it was her dad.
That's right.
Yeah, that was really funny.
Oh, my goodness.
But yeah, Sammy, insane this episode, and I love how well, I mean, she seems back and forth between being like a really good mother to Chucky and then just being totally negligent or just not really caring for what he was feeling. Because when she had the gun out at Frank, he was like, "I'm scared, Mom, I'm scared." And he's like crouching and hiding behind the table. Poor kid. But we see her be a good mom poor Chucky. But we see how well she knows him by the fact that she knew that him having, like, diarrhea meant that he was really nervous about, you know, going to school. And she knows that that's his pattern. So she asked Carl to keep an eye out for him, which I thought was really cute that Carl took up that offer, but with a price.
Yeah, let's talk about Carl.
Yeah.
Carl's awesome.
Let's do Carl. He made me laugh this episode. First of all, we see him getting ready for school for sixth grade for the third time.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Is that? So he should be in high school right now, pretty much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think the same grade as Emma, or maybe under her.
I think
he's like a freshman or sophomore.
Okay.
He should be.
But isn't she a freshman also?
Was it her first day of high school?
A few episodes back?
Yeah.
So he's probably like in the eighth grade then.
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense.
Yeah.
True. But I love that he actually does protect Chucky in a really cool way. Like, he's the one that's threatening all the bullies and stuff to keep away from Chucky. I love when Chucky comes home with a drawing. He's like, "Mom, I drew this and no one made fun of me for it." But of course he has to be Carl's slave. In exchange.
I love when he comes crawling into his classroom and brings him a can of pop and then, like, goes back out.
Yeah, and the teacher's like, are we interrupting? And he's like, "Oh, no, I'm great. The story's just
good." Yeah.
And they're reading some, like, it looked like some, like, little children's book.
It's great.
It's so funny. But how about Chucky when he, Carl's like, "Did you just shit your pants?"
Yeah.
And he was like, "Yeah, I kind of did a little bit." That's hilarious.
It's really funny. I think it's cool. I think Carl's going to be this sort of weird protector for Chucky. I mean, Chucky doesn't see it as him being he sees being Carl's slave as sort of a good thing because he is getting that protection and he's kind of getting this older brother, even though Carl's his uncle type of deal that he's never had before. So Chucky's gonna relish in it, even though Sammy is like, "You're not gonna be his slave. Like, this is not okay." And then Sammy gave Carl in exchange, she gave him Magnum condoms and nunchucks.
Yeah.
That made me laugh. It's like, Magnum.
And at the end, he was like, "I'm wearing one right now."
Yeah.
I had the rest of them around his neck.
No. But I'm excited to see how Carl and Chucky's relationship unfolds. Do you have any insight on that at all? that you can share or not?
I'll just say their relationship develops a little bit more.
Okay.
That's all I'll
say. I hope for the better. I think Chucky's going to enjoy life in school for a while.
Well, when we were watching, we were watching with Luca's parents as well, and his dad was saying on the way out that Chucky, no matter what scene he's in, just steals the scene, even if he doesn't have any words or any lines. It's just his mannerisms,
his facial expression.
Yeah, he's just hilarious.
He has a presence.
He does, even when he's just like crawling on the floor during the gun scene, you know, like your eye goes to him.
He's great.
Even in real life too, like, his name's Kellen. And he's just always like the
just
light.
Like, does he chat a lot? Like,
he does.
Life?
He really does. And then like it's funny, like we'd be doing school together and I'd be doing my work and he'll just come over my shoulder and look at me. He'll be like, hi. I'd be like, hey, and then he'd just look at me and look back. Like, he's like, what are you doing? I'm like, oh, I'm doing a math. He's like, that's cool. And then just walk away.
Aww.
He's so funny, though. I love Kellen.
How old is he in real life?
I have no idea.
Yeah.
To be
is he younger, though?
Yeah. He's probably like 11 or 12.
Okay.
Maybe.
Yeah, so probably the same age as his character.
Yeah.
He's really great. I love when he gets the cotton candy from Frank. He's like, this day keeps getting better.
And then he takes it away from him.
Okay.
How sad. Well, William H. Macy directed this episode.
Yes.
How was that? I want to know how that was working with him because he's a brilliant actor. I wanted to know what he was like.
I loved
director.
Working with him, and he really like allowed us to kind of do what we wanted to do and what we felt was right. And then he'd just chime in a little bit and get, okay, do this, do that.
Okay.
But yeah, he's such an amazing guy. He's really a nice guy.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's really cool to know. There were some cool behind-the-scenes shots that Emmy Rossum posted on Instagram of William H. Macy directing. And there's a scene, I guess he... in the high school hallway scene where we see Holly and Debs and stuff, like that was the shot I saw. So that was really cool to see him in that position.
Yeah.
And then also speaking of Emma Rose Kenny, she tweeted that the fact that he, let's see, the fact that he directed it, it's something that she looks up to. The fact that he's such a great actor, such a nice man, and that he directed this episode is something really cool to see for her. So
yeah, because I remember like talking to her. She said she wanted to be a director in the future. And I know she's a writer. Like, she writes her own scripts.
That's great.
She already,
like that.
She was in here, and she told us she already directed some film.
Yeah, she did I don't know if it was a short film, it went to, like, a bunch of festivals and stuff like that.
Good for
when
her.
She was, like, 9.
Yeah, so we were like, wow. So, yeah, I'm sure she'll be one to watch.
The things I was doing when I was 9.
Definitely not writing.
Going to festivals with your film.
Right.
That's really cool. Well, hopefully we'll see more of that kind of stuff from her and from William H. Macy. Do you know if he's directing any other episodes down the line?
Not this season.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, he got his
just being his
feet
crazy
wet,
friend.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you guys want to add anything else about Carl and Chucky before we move on to Lip?
No,
that's pretty much
it.
They
had some fun scenes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pretty cool. Well, let's go back to Lip. We know he had some trouble this episode.
I felt bad for him this episode.
Felt so bad. We know that he's an RA, obviously, and he went to go check his schedule for the first day of classes, and his schedule was not able to be found. Like, it was non-existent. Mm-hmm. So he waited in line for hours to try and get his schedule sorted out, and they told him to go to financial aid because he didn't submit his grant papers, which he thought you had to do just one time. So he was running around waiting for hours just to get stuff done, only to get nothing done. And we find out that the government papers for the grant came to his house in Southside, Chicago, and no one gave him those papers because they have no idea.
Mm-hmm.
So... poor guy. Like, his whole semester screwed up because of that.
Yeah, I felt sorry for him, too, because I like that we finally see him, you know, making this choice for himself to be at college and be, like, getting away from this kind of drama from home. And now he got sucked right back in it, you know, just because of them not giving him the papers. So
yeah.
I was glad he found him and hopeful that it turns out well for him. But
I mean, he was taking action. He applied for 5 credit cards on campus and pulled out $5,000.
The right action or not. It's a bit concerning because, you know, he's already going to have a lot of debt, most likely. And
it was
said, you know, now my credit like score is screwed. Mm-hmm. So, you know, hopefully that doesn't totally ruin things for him because it's nice to see that he really does want to go to school and that he's really trying. So I totally understand the feeling like he had to do whatever it takes to get back into class.
Exactly. Yeah. And he goes home unexpectedly to try to find those grant papers. And he put the blame solely on his family, which in a way, like, I would be pissed off too if I if, you know, I came to school and nothing was paid for because no one told me that I had, that I got something in the mail to submit. So poor guy, at least he found them and hopefully he can get on the right track to re-register and, and get things rolling again. But then we see him at the end opening his own PO box so that no one will touch his mail ever.
Well, he was home over the summer though, right? And they said that the papers were mailed in the summer. So but he technically could have gotten his own mail.
Well, didn't they also, didn't they say somebody had to sign for it?
Oh, somebody had to sign for it.
It wasn't just
because it was a package.
So probably someone did sign for it because he had.
So I think that's why he was so mad, because somebody was there and signed and didn't tell him and just dumped him in the
Totally changed things. All right. That's all kind of we saw with Lip. I mean, just him trying to gather all that information together. And now he's $5,000 in debt. Who knows how he's going to pay that back?
I mean, maybe an internship somewhere with Amanda's father.
True. Can you use grant money, though, to pay off debt that you used for school?
No. Well, his grant money is going directly to tuition. Okay. So I don't think he'll have any leftover money.
Okay.
But I bet that... I bet that will happen. Yeah, we did see something funny though when he has to deal with the guy who keeps going to his room naked.
Oh yeah, out of the shower, out of his room three times. That was so funny.
He's been here one day.
Did you get to talk to him, the actor?
Or was that such a quick? A few times I did. Okay. Yeah.
He looked funny. Yeah. I don't know why. He just looked like a funny guy.
Oh, him? No, yes. No, I didn't. Yeah, that was a completely different day. Okay. Yeah, I didn't.
I love how his RA duties include letting naked guys into their dorms.
What an amazing cameo for that kid. He was like, yeah, I'm on Shameless. I get to walk naked. And
The thing is, I love it, though, because all their stuff is so true to life. When I was in college, that happened to people all the time. They come back from the shower, locked out, and that was the worst. You're just, you know.
I know. That's true. I mean, I don't know. I've never lived in the dorms before, but I can imagine.
Dorms are great.
I hear stories. I hear stories. I can imagine it's really, really funny. But yeah, are you starting to look at colleges and everything?
Yeah, I'm gonna go to junior college first and get all of my basics, and then I'm either gonna go to Tisch at NYU, you know, the theater program, or Parsons for like fashion design and graphic design.
Very cool.
I had a cousin that just went back to school and went to Parsons for fashion merchandising, but it's a really, really cool place.
Very cool.
Yeah.
So you're into fashion too.
I mean, eventually I would like to have my own clothing line, but you know, I like to style people like my friends just for fun.
What's your style like?
It's called like high fashion streetwear, so it's like a mix of like the high fashion brands like Yves Saint Laurent and Mason Martin, Margiela, but then like also like streetwear, so a lot of like hip hop is a big influence like on the culture. Kind of like stuff casual couture. Yeah.
How did you get into that?
In eighth grade, like I was really into skateboarding.
Okay.
And that's like a whole different type of culture, but and then after a while, like, being on Tumblr and, like, Instagram, and then I started seeing, like, rap. I started getting into, like, rap, like, music. Mm-hmm. And then I just really love, like, the fashion aspect and the culture. And that's cool. I've been into it ever since.
So what do you think about Kanye West's fashion line? Is that kind of like a, that's like a couture type streetwear?
Like, I was really happy that, like, Adidas is letting him do his own thing. Because Nike didn't let him do anything. So it's cool. It's cool to see, like, like, Adidas let him make clothes. He has boots, and it's for men and women. And I loved his fashion show. I don't know if you guys saw it.
I've seen photos.
Yeah, I've seen, like, the whole thing. And then he showed his new song, too, off his new album. So, yeah, I'm excited to see his future projects.
I have to say, his boots are really cool. I've been seeing photos of him. Like, I actually kind of, I kind of want a pair.
They sold out in 10 seconds.
I'm sure.
Seriously.
Yeah.
How much do those go for?
There's $350, and then people were selling them on eBay for like $5,000.
Wow.
I think I might do that if I ever got the chance.
I'll buy myself for five grand.
He got his pair of Nike, the Kanye West, the Yeezys, and he sold them for like $2,000.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
It's a huge, like, market. That's what a lot of people do.
It's a good way to make money.
Yeah, a lot of people make a lot of money. Wow.
Especially kids. You wear them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Some people buy two, one to keep and one to sell.
That's That's not awesome. A bad deal. Okay. I gotta
say. If you ever become a famous fashion designer, I would like a pair of shoes and or whatever else you design.
Definitely.
So you've got skateboarding, MMA, fashion, you're like a jack of all trades. You like a lot of different things. That's really cool.
Yeah, and like I just really love art in general. So I'd like to direct, you know, write, produce, you know, be into fashion. Yeah, yeah, really cool. Everything, music.
And your parents seem super supportive, which is awesome.
Yeah, they're really... That's the good thing about them. They're really supportive of anything I want to do, no matter what it is.
Yeah, yeah,
they always have my back, and they'll try to find me like the best, you know, coaches, whether acting or sports. Mm-hmm. I used to train with like Olympic track runners.
Oh, wow. That's amazing.
Track. I always train with like the best football coaches, martial artists.
That's awesome. Yeah.
It's really good to have good a good system behind you like that. Good support system.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Do you have brothers and sisters?
No, I'm the only child. So, pretty spoiled.
Hey, it's okay.
Yeah.
You seem like a very humble, well-spoken
Yeah, that's from
person,
the martial arts. It, you know, gave us a lot of discipline and honor and respect.
Definitely.
And definitely at a young age, too. We learned that, so it kind of helps us carry on throughout
our
lives.
Well, we see, obviously, a little bit of that training in the show. Is that something you would suggest to, you know, anyone that's watching that show, that it's a really good...
Oh, yeah, it's a great workout. To me, it's, like, some of the best cardio that you can do, like, and it's fun, too, you know. If you have, like, a bad day at work or one of your family members is pissing you off, take it out on a bag or, you know, some pads. And really just... It's relaxing for me, and I still do it, you know, at least 2 to 3 times a week.
Cool.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
That's very cool. Are you ever on set and you, like, get a line wrong and you have to do it the takeover while you got the punching bag in front of you? And you're just like, no, I did it wrong.
No, but the hard thing was like, in the gym, actually punching the bag because there was a mic on there.
Oh,
and I couldn't punch it too hard because, like, the battery for it was on the back and it kept spinning and showing on camera.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Wow. That sounds difficult.
That was kind of difficult. And then... like, all the extras in the gym, too, were, like, making a lot of noise.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to do, like, ADR for kind of, like, those whole episodes.
Wow.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Wow. The conflicts you come across when you're filming on set. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad to know you have a really good support system. You know, who doesn't have a good support system right now is Kev.
Aww.
Yeah.
You know, Kev and V are going through some sort of separation and split right now. She moved up in above the Alibi with the Milk Mommies. The Milk Maids. Because, again, like we already know, she misses their relationship and Kev wants her to be more involved with the kids and it's just not happening. They're still not seeing eye to eye. They're still fighting about it. And we also know that Svetlana got kicked out of Mickey's house and she's staying with Kev in the meantime until V comes back. And stuff ensues.
Yeah.
I mean, she's got to perform those wifely duties that Kev's lacking in his life.
He kind of knew when she moved in that she was going to try to do something like that.
Oh, yeah. How can you not? It's Steve Howe.
I don't blame her.
I don't blame her.
Oh, man.
I'm really sad for those two.
Yeah, I really feel bad for Kevin because he's actually trying to be a good parent. And I think with V is that... she was only expecting one child and not two.
Yeah.
And I just think...
and that's got to be hard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And she has two, but Kev has three.
Yeah.
Which is...
Dominic.
Yeah. I always forget about Dominic. Mm-hmm. We saw him today.
Smarter of the three babies.
Yeah. Oh, he must be. He's V's mom's child.
I do like that V's mom is telling her not to screw it up. And she's trying to get her back with Kev because he is a guy that's sticking around and really does want a family. And he's one of the good ones, you know? I hope that V recognizes that and goes back. But what a lot of our fans of the show were saying on YouTube was, well, maybe it's, you know, she's just going through some, like, really hard times. Like, you guys need to think about that, too. And it made me start thinking because I was always saying, you know, oh, she needs to take responsibility.
Yeah.
And I do think it would be extremely difficult to go from one life to something you weren't expecting and totally lose a partner in the middle, you know. Mm-hmm. They definitely need to have sex and get over it.
Yeah. I don't think she lost Kev. I just think they're on, you know, different wavelengths and they need to meet halfway. He's still there.
She lost Kev as a intimate partner and as a, you know,
not having sex with your husband for a year.
Yeah.
I mean, that's
I don't think we ever knew it was that long.
I don't think we did either.
Well, I mean, she was pregnant.
Like it's a couple of weeks, and it was a year.
She was pregnant for probably half of that.
You can still have sex when you're pregnant.
Yeah. Girl, come on.
I know.
Not that I've been, but I've heard.
I mean, I know you can. I can't imagine that being, anyway, that's another conversation. Like, uncomfortable, I don't know. But I like what V's mom was saying. She's like, well, maybe you would want to have sex with V if she acted more like a mom, right? And he's like, yeah, that would be really hot. So I think V does need to meet him in the middle, and I think V's mom made him realize, like, what he probably wanted, and now he can communicate that to her, but they're not talking to each other. V's on her phone looking up past relationships.
Eddie Murphy.
Past beaus. Eddie Murphy, not the actor, but...
Who sent the naked text sex selfie already?
Yeah, oh my God.
So quickly.
Yeah.
And then we've got Svetlana hooking up with Kev.
No, I definitely agree with you. I think it's both of them. You know, I think he's putting full focus on the kids and, you know, neglecting some of her needs, but then she also, by not being mother, the mom had it right this time, because she said, you know, it was so sexy to her to see her husband with the kids and throwing them up and doing things. So it should be a turn on for each of them. So hopefully they'll
meet
in the middle here eventually. Yeah, because it's hard
compromise.
To watch them fight, you know?
Yeah. How are they, interacting, like, as actual people, you know, behind the scenes?
Oh, they're always just joking. They're very upbeat people. I love Veronica Shinola.
Yeah,
she's so fun.
Yeah, she is. She's just always like that, always upbeat and, yeah.
Yeah, she seems like it. I've watched some of her interviews. She's very funny.
Yeah.
And then Steve, too. He's always cracking jokes.
Yeah.
He's so funny. Yeah, he's always, like, a pleasure to be with at the table readings.
I would love to be able to fly on the wall.
Same.
I can only imagine.
Same. We've had Shinola on here a couple times, and she's always like, I'm the mother on set. Like, she has that air about her where she always wants to, like, talk to you and get to know you and kind of help you out if you need it.
Well, which is funny that you say that, because her character is the complete opposite.
That's so true.
I wonder how she's relating and how she's really getting into that role, how she's preparing, because she's so different.
That's true.
Yeah, because she was, like, one of the first people, like, that really talked to me on set. Because I've always only worked with Emma. Or Debbie.
Right.
So I didn't really get to meet any of the other people besides the table readings, but she was like one of the first people that came up to me and introduced herself. So yeah.
She's very welcoming.
Yeah. She is.
She makes you feel, when she's been in here, just like you've known her forever. She's just so, her energy and just so kind.
Yeah. Nice.
Totally. She's really cool. Well, let's hope they work things out. I'm interested to see the relationship between Kev and Svetlana and how that sort of develops. I mean, to be honest, when I first saw V's mom in that scene with Kevin, I was like, oh my God, V's gone. Does this mean that Kevin and her mom are going to, like, start some sort of relationship? That was my first thought. And I didn't even think Svetlana would be the one to, like, come in and do all the things that Kev needed V to do for the kids and stuff. But yeah, that's going to be really interesting if V decides to come back and not live above the alibi and find Svetlana there. Even though she's only staying for a couple of days, supposedly, but I highly doubt that.
2 days, 2 days. Yeah.
Who knows?
Exactly.
Who knows what that means? Oh, man. Well, so Svetlana got kicked out of Mickey's house. Mickey's going through a tough time with Ian. Mm-hmm. Ian is in the psych ward right now for 3 days. We know that. He's hopefully going to get treated for his bipolar disorder. But we kind of see him act out. I mean, he's heavily sedated on tons of drugs in this episode, and he wakes up not really knowing where he's at. What were you guys' thoughts on Ian's condition this episode? Made me, like, there was no smiling for me in that whole
Yeah, every
series.
Time it was, like, his scenes came on, it was hard to watch. It's hard to, you know, see his character like that, because in the previous seasons, he's pretty upbeat.
Full of life.
Right, yeah, and he's just dead, like nothing.
There's nothing in his eyes.
Yeah.
And Cameron Monaghan plays that so well.
Yeah, oh, he's such a great actor.
Yeah,
he is very, very good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
I know the medicine that he had from the sedation was totally, you know, screwing with him. But when I watched the scene where Fiona and Mickey come to visit and how he's reacting to all of the sounds and the people, and I'm wondering if it is bipolar disorder.
I was thinking
if it's something else, because he does show symptoms of some other mental illnesses. I wonder if it's even possibly schizophrenia with how he starts acting and even saying, you know, they're trying to take him when he was talking about the police and stuff like that. I don't know. It's possible. Maybe it's not even bipolar disorder.
Probably not. I mean,
it could be, but I wonder if it's something else.
Maybe. And he keeps saying, I don't have it. I don't have it. Maybe that's just sort of his way of like
trying to tell
people that this isn't what it is. Like, help me because I have something else.
Right.
I don't know that he's that aware of that. I think that he is bipolar, and I think because his mom had it, there's a good chance that he has
right.
it the way it runs. I think some of the other stuff was probably the all the medicine that he was on. And I mean, although I know he was going crazy earlier with the cops when he said the thing that you said, but yeah, I think a lot of this tonight was kind of the numbingness of the drugs and
yeah.
just the hallucinizations and craziness.
Yeah, I think it's bipolar too, because like they've shown previously that he stayed in bed for like
yeah.
a week, and that's what his mom
yeah.
Monica right. did too.
Yeah.
So I think it's bipolar. I think like just denial. He's just in denial.
Yeah, mm-hmm. that could be totally true. I mean, he's still in denial, and I think everyone else around him's coming to terms with it, but he doesn't want to. And it broke my heart to see him, you know, try to get out and be like, I need to go see Fiona and Yevgeny and Mickey. They're waiting for me. And that, I was like, oh my gosh, yeah. not Ian. 'Cause he's such an integral part of Mickey's life, and to see them like go from amazing to this, like mm-hmm. it's just really crazy.
What broke my heart was seeing Mickey, 'cause
yeah.
seeing Mickey
yeah.
have to deal with it and seeing his face when he's, you know, at the ward and knowing
seeing
that he's not
the softer side of him too.
Yeah,
the
more
first time.
Vulnerable and
yeah.
I think like mature too. Like he's wearing like collared shirts now
yeah.
and actually tucking his shirt
yeah.
in.
Yeah, and then he comes home and just grabs his, you know, he's drunk, but then finds
yeah.
his coat and just cries. You know, it's just such a hard thing when
yeah.
you have watching his loved one go through this.
Yeah,
you know.
Mm-hmm. And we saw. I don't know if you guys like if it touched you the same way, but when Mickey smiled at Ian, that smile when he first saw him, like that, mm-hmm. I'm trying to look like I'm okay, but I'm not
yeah.
okay, but I'm happy to see you, but what the fuck is going on,
totally,
smile,
yeah.
like that, I was like, oh my God, because we talked about it, I think, a couple episodes back, where a lot of the times, Cameron and Noel have sort of liberties with the script, and like they can totally omit words and just, you know, perform a scene with looks, and I think one of those moments was just that,
mm-hmm.
and it was perfect, like it just embodied the way Mickey was feeling perfectly, that smile and that look he gave Ian,
yeah.
and that awkward hug where it's like, who are you? Like,
yeah.
what is happening to us?
I just love his character, like, him. Like, what he does, because it was so funny, too, when the other guy in the ward was just staring at him.
Yeah.
You know? And you knew, you know he's going to snap eventually. But that's what he's like, it's so funny about Mickey, because he does snap and say things like that, but then he's so soft on the other side.
He's like,
I'm sorry,
you can keep staring at me.
Yeah.
It's okay,
he's like,
sorry.
it's fine. I wonder if that was him sort of thinking, like, holy shit, like, this could be Ian. Like, could I handle it if this was Ian? I don't know. Like, just in that second. It's like, who is this person? What am I dealing with here? I don't know. It broke my heart. And I was, you know, going through the whole sequence of Ian in the psych ward, I kind of felt like, and I don't know what it's like for people who are admitted. I don't know what the facilities are like, but I felt like he was being punished for, you know, something he can't
yeah.
handle other than being treated. And, I mean, I know he's in the process of figuring out, like, how to get treated and stuff. But it just, I don't know. Is that normally how things are there? It made me feel bad for Ian. I don't know. It was a thought. I don't know what it's like for psych wards and everything, but I don't
yeah.
know. That's all I have to say.
I want to talk about
serious
the good
note.
Relationship.
Let's talk about the good relationship. Debrick, which, by the way, is trending on social media. Debbie and Derek together. Emma Rose Kenny posted that on Twitter. She's like, we're trending. Holy crap. And
yeah.
I just saw Debrick on there. So
we're so excited
yeah.
about this. I told you we've been rooting for you. We're like, she needs a good guy like Derek. Like, come on. And then we were nervous that you were going to keep her in the friend zone.
Yeah, it's like, because she was live tweeting.
Yeah.
She was live tweeting the show. She's like, oh, that punch, though. And like, and then she put friend zone ? And then some people are like, oh, no, she's going to get friend zone. And then others were like, oh, no, he's going to come around at the end.
And then he kissed her.
Yeah.
I loved seeing that. I was like, hell yeah,
yeah.
Go Derek.
That
well, I love that she turned around.
So hard to shoot.
Really?
Because it was in Chicago. and it was like in November. It was below zero.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, because in the earlier scene, it was summer and it was like 90 degrees when we shot that here in LA. And then so trying to like match it, we were freezing.
Yeah, and you can't look cold.
Yeah, and yeah. It was actually snowing. I'm surprised at how they not see that. Yeah, wow. It was like people had to come and wipe snow off our hair and the windshield of the car.
Wow, how crazy. Yeah, I would have had no idea.
No, not at all.
Yeah, and then we had heater, like little pads in our socks and pants. It was so cold.
Oh, that's so crazy.
How many times did you have to kiss to get that one scene?
Few times.
It's okay, maybe it kept your lips from turning blue.
Yeah, and then I have a few stills like from the scene, and like my ears are bright red.
Oh, no.
But it was a really fun scene to shoot, because like who can like really say that, like to be in that, you know, condition.
Yeah,
and then, it's awesome.
And then, like, everyone was freezing, too, so you weren't just the only one.
That's pretty cool.
I like
cool.
that Debbie, you know, just turned around and said exactly what she was thinking, because I thought she was going to walk in the house, and she was like, nope, screw this. Like, I have to just say it.
Yeah.
I agree. Great moment.
She consulted with Holly, and Holly's suggestions didn't work.
Yeah.
She talked about how she consulted.
Yeah. Yeah.
You created a monster a little bit. Yeah. She's strong now.
Yeah.
Do you actually teach her any real moves?
No. Not really.
I think it's safe to say Deb's fighting style is a little less structured than yours right now.
Yeah, she's more just off fearing like people and like anger.
So let me instill some fear into your brain, she did for Holly, which was hilarious. She also, Emma Rose-Kenny tweeted that whole scene, her and Holly were laughing. They couldn't stop laughing when she got her in the bathroom and, like, grabbed her by the collars.
Yeah, because they're really good friends in real life.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I wasn't there. I left early that day, but, yeah.
But you know, that's how they are on set. Usually they're just, like, having fun, joking around. And here they have to have this scene where they hate each other, where Holly has to be afraid of Debs. And, you know, I can imagine that's totally weird for them.
Yeah, and then when we were in Chicago too, like they did the scene at the pool she fought them, and then like later that day we were all hanging out like at the hotel and stuff.
That's so funny.
Yeah.
What do you guys do to sort of hang out in between takes or sets? I mean, you're all pretty young, but you must find ways to sort of, you know, find cool things to do around the city.
Yeah, I was only there for like a short period of time, but and then we would hang out like at night, like at 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock at night. And we would just like walk a little bit through the city, and we went, we walked to like Lake Michigan, which it was pretty close to the hotel. And then it was funny. I was with, Emma and Danica, who plays Holly, and they're like, oh, let's ask this guy to take a picture. And he's like, oh, you know, I could steal your phone, right? It was really creepy. Wait, what?
You're like, wait, never mind.
Yeah. I was like, okay, do I have to chase this guy down right now?
Which kind of would be perfect for the Shameless show. Yeah. You have something like that of all people.
Are you thinking like, they need to I'm an MMA stick. Fighter, don't mess with me.
Yeah, I was like, okay, do I have to put my skills to use them? He's like, nah, I'm just kidding. He's like, but be careful though, guys. We're like, okay.
I don't get when people do weird stuff like that. Like, try to teach you a lesson by being weird themselves.
We walked away so fast.
Yeah. Good job.
He sees all these young kids. He's like, let me impart my wisdom on you.
Yeah.
And just be totally weird about it.
A lot of people do that to me for some reason. I don't know why.
You just have that innocence.
Yeah.
Well, have you ever had to use your martial arts or MMA skills in real life to, like, defend yourself? That's good.
For some reason, no.
That's good.
I mean, maybe, like, on my little cousins like that, but no, never like on the street.
Okay.
I mean, I'm glad
of course
that happened too, but like if something ever happens, I'm like prepared.
Definitely.
Yeah.
It's a good skill to have in your back pocket if anything goes wrong.
Because some people like take it the wrong way and think, oh, I could beat anyone up now. It's not really for that. Mm-hmm. It's just in case something happens.
Yeah.
You're able to protect yourself.
Which martial arts are you a black belt in?
I'm in Shorin-Ryu, which is like a traditional Japanese style. But then I also do MMA, which is boxing, kickboxing, wrestling, jiu-jitsu.
Very cool.
Yeah, I do more of that now than the traditional karate, but I still try to do both.
Okay,
cool.
Yeah.
That's born and raised here?
Yes.
Awesome.
My mom's from Mexico and my dad's here, from here.
Very cool. Mm. Very, very cool. Mm-hmm. Well, I used to do Taekwondo. Oh, really? Yellow belt. We can spar later. Just kidding. I mean, I'm not just kidding, but I don't know. I don't remember anything. Yeah. It's like so sad how not coordinated I am.
That would be cute. I want to see those pictures.
Oh, God. I cried when I had to break a board.
Because oh, really?
I couldn't do it. So sad. But tell us more about what it was like sort of filming, you know, the scenes in the gym and stuff.
Oh, that was really fun. I felt like really comfortable because I know this atmosphere. And I was just really excited to see where my relationship was going to go with Debbie because I didn't know anything prior. I learned something new, like, every time I got the script.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I didn't know if, oh, we're just friends or we're going to be boyfriend and girlfriend. So I was
kind of...
Well, yeah, now we are.
Okay, so yeah. That kiss made it official.
Yeah.
Okay.
That was official. But, yeah, I was always excited to see, you know, where it was going to go.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, we're excited to see where that relationship goes, too. I'm so glad to see
you.
I'm so glad to see that your character is, you know, growing, developing, and staying on the show.
Yeah. And I feel my character is pretty good for her.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know,
they're
definitely
around the same age. I think, yeah.
You like her back.
Yeah. I think he's just a good fit for her.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, and I know you told me earlier when I asked that your favorite episode of the season was episode 10. Why is that?
I can't say.
She keeps trying.
Yeah. I can't say.
Well, we're just excited that we're going to have a good episode to look forward to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. Good. Well, do you have any spoilers for us?
I don't.
Okay. Well.
I mean, I do, but I cannot say.
Maybe you can.
You gotta keep this job going.
Yeah.
We won't get you in trouble.
No.
Yeah, I don't want the feds at my door tomorrow morning. So.
Right.
Well, if we can't have spoilers, we're just gonna have to do predictions then. Okay. So let's take care of that right now.
Alrighty.
That's so cool.
I never expect it when it comes on.
Yeah.
Well, Holly, why don't you start with the predictions? What do you got?
I don't know. I think I kind of made my prediction earlier. I think Lip's going to make back his money that he's now in debt from college at an internship from Amanda's dad.
Well, okay. We also see in the trailer, which I'm a little nervous about though, because we see him selling weed with
Kev.
But that's so still just to get the extra $6,000 to pay for the tuition. So then he's, I think, going to end up being more debt from things. So.
Yeah. Like, different kinds of problems will occur from it.
I think we might see a problem with the Carl-Chucky relationship, and I think Carl might somehow bring a... You know, he's still dealing with the drug dealers and the...
Chucky?
I think Chucky might somehow be a casualty.
Not a
casualty, I don't think he's going to die, but I think he's going to somehow get wrapped up in this in a bad way.
Yeah, I think so, too. Definitely.
He's just too cute to
poker face. Poker face.
I mean, he's so into having that time with Carl that he'll do anything to sort of tag along with him because he thinks he's cool. He's protecting him.
Yeah.
But, yeah, in that vein, I think Carl's going to be the next Gallagher in jail or juvie. I mean, he looked like he was running from the cops, so I don't think that'll end well for him. I love how we're all looking at you, Luca.
Luca, your predictions for next week?
I'll just say that there's very many interesting stories and probably some shockers.
Great,
for you guys.
Keep it as vague as possible.
Good. Yeah. Shockers.
Shockers are good.
Yeah. Throughout the whole season.
Okay,
yeah,
for
the rest
sure
of the season.
Can't wait.
Yes.
Cool.
Awesome. Well, we're all done here wrapping up episode 7. But until next week, where can we find you, JJ?
I'm at JJ Juergens on Twitter, Juergens JJ on Instagram, at my blog on tomgirl.tv.
Cool. And Luca, what about you?
On Twitter, I'm at @Luca_Oriel and Instagram at @LucaOriel.
Cool.
Awesome. And then I am on Twitter at Haley Clover and Instagram at Haley Clover.
Awesome. And you guys can find me on Twitter and Instagram at JAJOURI. And until next week, we'll see you guys. Thanks for joining us. Don't forget to subscribe, click that like button, and hopefully we'll see you all next week. Bye.
Bye. Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.